Welcome to the podcast series of Middle East and Africa Textile Journal.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here. When we think about the internet, we rarely picture the actual physical reality of it, you know?
Right. Yeah, we just kind of expect it to work.
Exactly. I mean, we don't think about the thousands of miles of heavy fiber optic cables that are just buried under the freezing pressure of the ocean floor, or like those massive humming server farms drawing megawatts of power out in the desert. We just tap our screens, the video plays, and we expect that underlying infrastructure to be totally flawless and, well, invisible.
Because the user experience is entirely insulated from the mechanics, right? We demand the convenience, but we definitely prefer that the messy, high-stakes engineering required to deliver it just remains hidden from view.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind. But today, we are diving into a stack of sources that made me realize we do the exact same thing with an infrastructure that's even more fundamental than our Wi-Fi.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, every shirt you wear, every filter in your car, every sterile wipe you use, we just pull them off the shelf. We almost never consider the hidden, highly automated backbone of the modern world that actually manufactures the physical fabric of our lives.
And that unseen infrastructure is right now navigating two massive colliding global crises.
Yeah.
The textile industry is, frankly, running out of people willing to do the grueling manual labor required to operate a mill. And simultaneously, they are running up against severe global resource constraints. So they're being forced to rethink everything from the ground up.
Which brings us to today's source material. We're doing a deep dive into an editorial piece covering the blueprints for an upcoming showcase by an engineering company called Trichler.
Yeah, a really fascinating showcase.
If you happen to be in Istanbul between June 9th and the 13th for the ITM 2026 Textile Machinery Fair, you could actually walk into Hall 7, find booth 714A, and see this hardware in person. But, you know, our mission today isn't just to walk through a trade show floor.
No, definitely not.
We are using these blueprints to explore how an entire foundational industry is utilizing autonomous fleets, microscopic AI, and cloud computing to fundamentally re-engineer human labor.
Because the stakes are incredibly high here. I mean, when people hear spinning mill, they tend to envision like an Industrial Revolution era floor plan.
Sweaty static machines.
Exactly. Static machines, manual bobbins, workers physically hauling heavy material from one station to the next. But what Trichler is building is closer to a self-regulating robotic ecosystem. It requires abandoning the idea that a factory is just a building with machines in it and treating it instead like a dynamic living organism.
Okay, let's start with the sheer physical logistics then. Because before a machine can process anything, the raw material has to actually get there.
Right, the heavy lifting.
Yeah. In a traditional mill, that means moving massive heavy sliver cans across the floor. With the labor shortage hitting the heavy lifting sector the hardest, I mean, a plant manager can't afford to have their entire production bottlenecked just because a material handler called in sick.
And this is where the T-CAN system comes into the blueprints.
The self-driving cans.
Right. The industry has experimented with automation before, but Trichler is shifting from fixed automation to true autonomous navigation. They are deploying these automated guided vehicles, or AGVs, to maneuver these heavy cans.
Okay, I have to challenge the hype around the word autonomous here, though.
Fair enough.
Because if you walk into any high-tech fulfillment center, you see automated carts, right?
Yeah.
But usually, they're just following, like, magnetic tape on the floor or a highly restricted grid.
Yeah, the old fixed track models.
It's effectively a train on a very complex track. If a pallet falls in the aisle, the cart stops and the alarm sounds, and the whole line backs up until a human clears the track. So is the T-CAN actually autonomous, or is it just another train on a fixed loop?
Well, the distinction between a fixed track and true spatial navigation is the core of this whole system. A traditional AGV following a line is, as you noted, incredibly fragile.
Right.
Any disruption breaks the sequence. But the T-CAN system utilizes dynamic routing software. These vehicles digitally map the entire floor.
Oh, like a smart vacuum for a factory.
Exactly like that, but on an industrial scale. If a forklift operator leaves a pallet in the primary transport aisle, the T-CAN doesn't just stop and trigger a fault code. It recalculates the floor plan in real time, finds an alternative route around the obstacle, and delivers the material to the processing machine without any human intervention.
Wow, so that shifts the floor from a rigid assembly line to a fluid logistics network.
Yes. You are replacing vulnerable infrastructure with a highly agile robotic workforce that actually adapts to the chaos of a real-world factory.
Which is pretty chaotic.
Very. And that agility is a survival mechanism for modern spinning mills. When a facility is operating with a fraction of its historical workforce, you literally cannot afford static bottlenecks. Reliable, dynamic material allocation ensures the heavy lifting happens invisibly, which keeps the high-speed processors constantly fed with raw material.
Which brings us to the processors themselves. Because once those autonomous vehicles deliver the material, the machines are expected to run faster than ever.
Much faster.
The sources detail the combination of their next-generation card, the TC30i, and the integrated drawframe, the IDF3, which is used for direct spinning. And the headline metric here is that the TC30i delivers up to 40% higher productivity.
40% is a massive jump.
Okay, but if I'm a plant manager, a 40% speed increase sounds great on paper, but it honestly terrifies me in practice.
Because of the physics.
Exactly. In industrial manufacturing, if you take a machine and crank its operational speed up by 40%, the physical forces compound. The machine starts generating more heat, the thermal exhaustion kicks in, the tolerances warp, and suddenly you are just shredding the product. How do you drastically increase the speed of a carding machine without experiencing a catastrophic drop in yarn quality?
You hit on the exact physical limitation that has capped spinning mill speeds for decades, is thermodynamics. In a carding machine, you have this massive spinning cylinder covered in thousands of metallic points. It's passing by stationary flats at incredibly high speeds to align the fibers.
And the gap between them is tiny, right?
Fraction of a millimeter. So when you increase productivity by 40%, you generate immense centrifugal force and thermal expansion. The metal literally grows.
Wait, the metal grows. So historically, what a highly skilled technician would have to periodically stop the machine, let it cool down, and manually recalibrate the gap with a feeler gauge, just to ensure the metal points don't collide.
Precisely. And that's why human intervention becomes a huge bottleneck at those speeds. Tritschler's solution here is the TGO system.
The automatic gap
Now,
optimizer.
right. Rather than relying on a technician to make static adjustments, the machine utilizes an internal sensor network to continuously monitor the physical expansion of the cylinder.
It functions almost like active noise-canceling headphones, but for physical space.
Oh, that's a really interesting way to think about it.
Because noise-canceling headphones constantly measure the ambient sound waves, like in milliseconds, and output an inverse wave to maintain a perfect acoustic environment. So the TGO is constantly measuring the thermal expansion and automatically adjusting the physical gap on the fly.
That is a highly accurate comparison. It maintains a micromillimeter tolerance dynamically, completely, regardless of the operational temperature or the speed of the cylinder.
That's wild.
It achieves a level of precision that human hands literally cannot execute. By removing the physical limitations of static metal and human calibration, you can push the throughput up by 40% while actually improving the uniformity of the yarn.
And they are pairing that high-speed card with a new can-changing system that boosts efficiency by another 3%. Which, I mean, 3% might sound like a rounding error to an outsider.
But in a 247 global operation.
Right. Compounding a 3% gain across hundreds of machines translates to millions of dollars in recovered operational capacity.
Exactly. And the IDF3 integrated drawframe builds on that by shortening the entire spinning preparation process for rotor and airjet applications. It's an ecosystem entirely designed to eliminate dead time.
Well, speaking of eliminating dead time, let's talk about the combing technology. Because the physics of their new TCO21XL comber seem to contradict basic mechanics.
They really do on the surface.
The sources state it increases productivity by 50% by operating 12 heads instead of the standard 8. But the crucial detail is that it operates those 12 heads while requiring less energy per head. How is that possible? If you add 50% more moving parts to a machine, you add mass, you add friction, and you increase the baseline energy required just to spin the motors, how do they add four entire combing heads and actually reduce the energy consumption per unit?
It all comes down to optimizing the kinematics and the drive architectures.
Okay, unpack that a bit.
Sure. A traditional eight-head comber relies on multiple smaller drives that each suffer from individual frictional losses. When Tritschler designed the TCO21XL to run 12 heads, they didn't just bolt on four more units to the old design.
They didn't just make it longer.
No, they completely re-engineered the central drive mechanics.
Ah, so they amortized the baseline energy.
Exactly. The initial energy required to overcome the inertia of the machine is now distributed across a 50% larger output. They optimize the synchronized movement of the nippers and the half-lap cylinders so that the entire mechanical chain operates with way less vibrational energy loss.
So you end up with a massive scale-up in volume, but the frictional loss per kilogram of comb sliver drops significantly.
Yes, and the sources also mention a feature called count control on this comber.
Right, I saw that. What does that do?
Count control monitors and adjusts the sliver weight continuously. So despite the massive increase in speed and the wider 12-head architecture, the system guarantees a permanently constant sliver count. You get first-class uniform quality at a 50% higher volume.
That's incredible. And, the precision of these systems, especially that dynamic TGO carding gap we talked about, it unlocks a completely different application that I find really fascinating.
The recycled materials.
Yes. The sources point out that this microscopic precision is exactly what allows these mills to efficiently process recycled materials or blends with a really high short fiber content.
Right, because mechanically speaking, virgin cotton is relatively predictable. The fibers have a consistent length, a consistent tensile strength, but recycled fibers are an absolute nightmare to process.
Because they've been worn down.
Exactly. They have already been subjected to the mechanical stress of being spun, woven, worn, washed, and then physically torn apart. They are brittle, their lengths are highly variable, and they are full of neps.
Neps being those tiny tangled knots of fiber.
Yes. So if you run brittle, inconsistent recycled fiber through an older machine with a static carding gap, the machine will either be too loose and fail to untangle the
Which
nets,
ruins the yarn.
right? Or it will be too tight and physically crush the weakened fibers into actual dust.
Ouch. So the dynamic adjustment of the TGO system solves that.
It does. By optimizing the combing force micromillimeter by micromillimeter, the machine applies exactly enough pressure to align the recycled fibers without destroying them. The entire push for a circular textile economy relies completely on high-tech machinery capable of handling degraded input materials at a commercial scale.
I mean, sustainable fashion is basically impossible without this level of mechanical engineering.
It really is.
Well, spinning yarn for apparel is obviously incredibly complex, but the source material shifts gears entirely in the second half. We move from traditional textiles into the Trichler Nonwovens division.
Yes, a totally different beast.
These are the invisible fabrics that build our infrastructure and touch our skin every single day, manufactured in ways that look completely alien compared to spinning thread.
And the non-woven sector covers an enormous spectrum of physical properties. On one extreme, you have the T. Suprema needle punching concept, which is implemented with their partner technology.
The sources mention this is for geotextiles and filter media. So we are talking about the heavy-duty, massive synthetic sheets used to stabilize soil beds under superhighways or line industrial reservoirs.
Right. The physical force required to manufacture highway-grade fabric is immense. The needle punching process literally involves thousands of barbed needles violently punching loose webs of fiber together,
Just hammering them.
hammering them until they mechanically interlock into an unbreakable sheet. To support this specific market, they are introducing the NCXE card, engineered specifically as a fit-for-purpose, highly cost-efficient solution.
So it's about reliable brute strength.
Exactly. It delivers the brute strength and proven product quality required for heavy infrastructure, designed for investors who just need reliable, high-volume output without unnecessary overhead.
Okay, but then the documentation pivots to the absolute opposite end of the spectrum. We go from violent needle punching for highway stabilization to the most delicate manufacturing process imaginable.
The hygiene sector.
Right. They detail their proven carding technology for air through Bonded Hygiene Nonwovens, ATB for short. This utilizes their NCX card. And the metric that absolutely stopped me cold is that it processes fine bicomponent microfibers down to 0.4 denier.
It's almost hard to conceptualize how thin that is.
For anyone unfamiliar with denier, it is a measurement of linear mass density. Specifically, it is the weight in grams of 9,000 meters of a single fiber. A standard strand of human hair is about 20 denier.
And this is 0.4.
Right. A 0.4 denier fiber is almost inconceivably fine. If you held 9,000 meters of it in your hand, it would weigh less than half a gram.
It is virtually weightless, it's highly susceptible to static electricity, and it is incredibly fragile.
So how does an industrial machine running at high speeds handle a fiber that is practically lighter than air without snapping it or causing it to clump into a useless mess?
Well, it requires a complete departure from traditional mechanical transfer. You cannot drag a 0.4 denier fiber across metal teeth using sheer force. It would disintegrate.
Right, the metal would just shred it.
Right. So the NCX card relies on complex aerodynamic profiling. The internal geometry of the machine is actually tailored to manage microscopic airflows. It's essentially floating the fibers off the cylinder and laying them down with perfect uniformity.
Wow. The airflow itself becomes the tool rather than the metal.
Yes. This aerodynamic precision is what allows the machine to create highly voluminous, exceptionally soft webs. It is the exact technology required to manufacture premium top sheets and back sheets for modern diapers.
The sources also detail carded pulp and wet-laid spunlace lines for lightweight nonwovens, utilized for things like disposable wipes and moist toilet tissue. And they highlight a new flat top from Trichler Card Clothing TCC that is robust, engineered for long-term performance, and fully recyclable.
Yes, the fully recyclable flat top is a big deal.
But I want to push back on the broader implications here for a second. We are analyzing these hyper-advanced, aerodynamically precise machines whose ultimate purpose is to mass produce single-use diapers and flushable wipes.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, because we just talked about the critical importance of a circular economy and processing recycled fibers. How does the industry reconcile engineering brilliant, highly sustainable machinery to aggressively pump out thousands of tons of disposable waste every single hour?
It's the central paradox of modern consumer engineering. You really have to separate the reality of the consumer market from the reality of industrial design. Global demand for super soft, voluminous hygiene products is fixed and it's growing.
Right.
Billions of people rely on diapers, medical pads, and sterile wipes. They are non-negotiable utilities for public health.
So the market demands the product, and the engineers basically have to build the machine to supply it.
Exactly. But because the end product is intrinsically disposable, the engineers are attacking the environmental impact from within the manufacturing process itself. Traditionally, card clothing components involve bonded layers of mixed metals and synthetic rubbers that are just impossible to separate.
Meaning they go straight to a landfill when they wear out.
Right. But by engineering a fully recyclable flat top, TCC ensures that the massive industrial wear and tear of producing these goods doesn't compound the waste problem.
Okay, I see. And they're also advancing the wet-laid lines for moist toilet tissue, which directly improves the dispersibility of the wipes, right?
Yes.
So if we are going to manufacture billions of single-use items, the machinery producing them must be as energy efficient, material efficient, and structurally recyclable as the laws of physics allow.
It is about aggressively optimizing the footprint of a necessary industry. You reduce the power consumed per ton, you recycle the wear parts of the machine, and you engineer the final product to degrade faster.
Well, we have painted a picture of a factory floor that is almost overwhelmingly complex. I mean, you have fleets of AGVs calculating dynamic routes in real time, carding machines adjusting their own thermodynamic gaps to the micromillimeter, 12 head combers balancing intricate drive kinematics, and aerodynamic chambers floating 0.4 denier microfibers.
It's a lot of moving parts.
Literally. And if I am the plant manager, sitting in an office overlooking this floor, putting the oversight of this entire operation onto a cloud-based application sounds like a terrifying single point of failure.
The MyMill system.
Yeah, the sources highlight the MyTrutzler platform
Yeah.
and specifically the MyMill cloud application, which is designed to monitor and optimize the entire spinning mill.
Right.
I just look at this through the lens of a massive server outage. If I run my factory entirely on the cloud and like an AWS server in another country goes offline, does my entire fleet of AGVs just freeze? Do the carding machines lose their parameters? Does digitizing the mill create an unacceptable level of operational fragility?
That is the primary hesitation for any industrial sector adopting cloud architecture. But the critical distinction here is edge computing versus cloud dependency.
Okay, what does that mean in this context?
The physical machines, the T-CAN vehicles, the TC30i cards, they operate on localized edge logic. They do not require a constant, unbroken connection to a remote server to know how to navigate a room or adjust a carding gap. They possess the onboard processing power to execute their primary functions independently.
Ah, so the cloud platform isn't acting as the literal power switch or the steering wheel.
No, not at all. MyMill provides diagnostic supremacy, not fragile dependency. It acts as an aggregator of millions of data points across the entire ecosystem. It monitors the power draw of every individual motor, the efficiency of every carding gap, and the routing metrics of every single AGV.
It is looking for anomalies.
Exactly.
So if a specific drive motor on one of the combers starts drawing, say, 2% more voltage than its baseline, the machine itself might not trigger an alarm because it's still within operational limits.
Right, local sensors wouldn't care yet. But the MIMO platform spots that trend over a 48-hour period, compares it against global data sets, and realizes that a 2% voltage spike in that specific motor is a predictive indicator of a bearing failure.
Oh, wow. So it flags it early.
It flags the component for maintenance during a scheduled shift change, long before the motor seizes and physically halts the production line. It is about transforming unexpected, catastrophic downtime into planned, minor maintenance.
And the sources emphasize that this digital oversight is heavily reinforced by a physical local safety net. Trutzler bundles these digital insights with local service teams, technology support, wire stocks, and repair stations.
Which is vital.
Yeah, they're heavily highlighting their local support network in Turkey around this ITM 2026 fair, as well as their global footprint.
Because a predictive alert from the cloud is entirely useless if you have to wait 6 weeks for a proprietary part to ship across the ocean.
Right.
The architecture only works if the digital warning is immediately actionable by a local physical supply chain. The cloud provides the intelligence, but the local repair stations provide the muscle.
When you step back and look at the sheer scale of the engineering we've explored today, it really alters your perspective on the physical world.
It really does.
I mean, we started with the logistics of navigating an autonomous fleet of Tecan vehicles through a chaotic factory floor to solve a critical labor crisis. We zoomed down to the micromillimeters of the TC30i, utilizing the TGO system to actively fight thermal expansion and make the processing of brittle recycled fibers commercially viable.
We analyzed the drive kinematics of the TCO21XL comber, achieving the counterintuitive feat of increasing mechanical output by 50% while dropping the energy required per head.
We looked at the aerodynamic mastery required to float 0.4 denier microfibers for hygiene products, and the industrial push to utilize fully recyclable machinery components like the new flat top from TCC.
And we tied it all together with a cloud-based diagnostic network that predicts hardware failures before they even happen.
It is a remarkable convergence of heavy industry and data science. The showcase they are preparing is essentially a blueprint for how human manufacturing survives the next century of resource constraints.
And if I can leave you with a final thought to ponder, we spent a lot of time today analyzing the TGO system and how it dynamically optimizes machine settings far beyond human capability.
Right, the micromillimeter adjustments.
Yeah. But for centuries, the textile industry relied heavily on the craftsman intuition of the worker. The ability to listen to the hum of a machine, feel the tension of the yarn, and know exactly how to tune the mechanics.
An art form almost.
Exactly. So as machines become entirely self-diagnosing and self-optimizing, what happens to that tactile generational intuition? Are we rapidly entering an era where the human role in these foundational industries shifts entirely from being the physical maker of the goods to simply being the remote overseer of the algorithms that do the making?
The evolution from working the physical loom to just monitoring the data flow. It is a profound shift in what it actually means to manufacture something. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the hidden infrastructure of our world. The next time you grab a simple T-shirt or a disposable wipe, take a moment to imagine the robotic, hyper-precise symphony that had to flawlessly execute millions of calculations just to bring it to your hands. Keep questioning the invisible systems around you, and we will catch you next time.